In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most people here will have heard of Elon Musk, a big name in today's science and technology world, widely known for his Tesla electric cars, but also for being on the cutting edge of technology. And one of the terms associated with him is called transhumanism, the idea of uniting of technology and humans. Now, it's not the topic of my sermon. Some very interesting stuff and some kind of disconcerting stuff. Things all the way from functioning prosthetics that work with a person's mind to some things that are a little more unsettling. However, long before anyone could conceive of uniting men with machines, men with computers, man was united to something above him. To unite us with any kind of man-made technology is to unite ourselves to something lower than ourselves, of a lower grade. It's the uniting of a rational being with an unrational being. No matter how powerful that computer might be or that technology might be, it doesn't have rationality. It doesn't have reason given by God. But God chose to unite us with something above ourselves, chose to unite us with himself. Man, infinitely less than God, was and is united to him in the cases of those who accept his grace by his grace. The life of God was integrated into our souls, giving us supernatural life at baptism. Now, obviously, it's not a perfect parallel, these two comparisons. Nonetheless, it helps to illustrate the point. By receiving grace in our souls, we are united with something higher than ourselves, rather with someone higher than ourselves. The highest of all, the creator of all. Grace is a quality given to our soul by God that makes it a child of God, an heir of heaven, a sharer in the life of God, and worthy of salvation. This grace that we receive in baptism is called habitual or sanctifying grace. And there is also actual grace, which is a passing help, a temporary help to help us to do some good, to avoid some evil. Grace was originally given to mankind by God. Mankind was originally united to him at creation when he made Adam and Eve. He planted the good seed from the start. The devil, the enemy of God and our enemy, sows bad seed. And we see how he sowed bad seed in the heart of Eve. And from Eve, it spread to Adam. And then by sin, we lost the gift of grace, and we had no more supernatural life. No longer were you reunited to our God above. But Christ came again, sowing good seed into the world to restore mankind to friendship with God and to save it. And by the good seed of today's gospel, we can understand all the good things coming from God and acting in the world. Now, as sickness kills the body, kills the natural life, so sin kills the soul, kills the supernatural life. Sin, as we were mentioning earlier this week, is an action, a thought, or a word, or a deed that goes against the laws of God, that is against the order with which everything was created. Sin always involves disorder of some kind. So lying is a sin, because the purpose of speech is to convey truth. So birth control is a sin, because the purpose of marriage is to convey and foster life. So alcoholism is a sin, because the purpose of eating and drinking is to improve and preserve physical and mental health and life. So disobedience is a sin, because authority comes from God and is necessary to arrange human affairs in an orderly way that leads to him. Sin is a disorder, a disobedience to the laws of God, whether his laws implanted in our hearts, in our nature, which everyone knows without being taught, or his laws given directly by revelation, or the obedience he expects to legitimate authority. Now, when the disorder of sin is serious, it prefers something to God. It makes something of this world, in a serious way, it prefers something to God, makes something of this world above him. It makes a creature more important than him. It chooses a creature over him and rejecting him. And so it completely destroys the order in the soul, the proper order. When this happens, there is no more life. The soul is dead. It is no longer a child of God and an heir of heaven. And this is called mortal sin. What these sins are that are so serious that we lose our spiritual life, we learn from Revelation, we learn from the church, the teaching of the church, and from our reason. These are the mortal sins. And when these sins are committed deliberately, that is, when the person is aware that what he's doing is seriously wrong and he does it anyhow, the soul dies. The person prefers this life to God's life. And so he loses the latter. Venial sin, the lesser sin, is still disorderly, but it doesn't destroy the order. It takes us off track, as it were, but we don't lose our life, though it begins us in that direction. Today's gospel and epistle turn our thoughts from earth to heaven, from this life to the life above. And Jesus, who is God, gives us a little window from above. To God, this world is like a field. He places mankind in it, and he sows all his good seed. He sows his seeds of truth, of revelation, of grace. He sows it by the example and teaching of Christ, by his church. This good seed matures, it grows, and its fruit is the elect, those who live a life of grace and gain heaven. The fruit of the good seed is holy people. The fruit of the bad seed sown by the enemy is bad people. And here we talk about not nice people and not nice people, but we talk about supernaturally good and bad. Those who share the life of God by grace in their souls and those who reject it by sin. God, who makes his sun to shine and his rain to fall on both the good and the bad, lets both seeds grow to maturity in this world. Then at the end, as sacred scripture tells us, they are separated. The wicked are cast into eternal fire, and the good are gathered up into heaven. A little later in this gospel, in the same chapter we read in today, but not at today's Mass, our Lord himself explains this parable, and he says that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. So it is, again, that Jesus always draws our attention to heaven. He came from heaven, and he went back to heaven. He came to bring the truth of supernatural, spiritual salvation to us, to sow the good seed. We must remind ourselves again and again that we are here to get to heaven. That this place is a testing field for us, to give us the chance to be good ground and to become the fruit of the good seed. One purpose and one goal alone has life. And so the church has us read also this Sunday this passage from St. Paul's epistles. St. Paul likewise draws our attention to the supernatural and to the purpose of our lives. And he also brings it down today to some practical day-to-day things for us. All of our actions need to have a reference to God, a connection to God. They must be part of an order that points to God. So St. Paul says, all whatsoever you do, whether in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do must be done with the same heart and the same mind that Jesus had, as part of his living body, which is the church in which we are united. It's not possible to concentrate every moment of the day on God, nor for most of us it is will to concentrate directly on him continuously. However, all of our actions have to be directed to him, towards him. An example will help us with this. Suppose a man wants to start a business. He has to have a business plan. Maybe he's in high school, finishing up high school, and he wants to be a chef, start his own restaurant. He has to get good enough grades to get into chef school. He has to find funding for his business. He has to lay out the business plan, where he's going to get the money, where he's going to find the customers, how he's going to retain them, what kind of marketing he's going to have. He's going to have to show that plan to get his investment. There's a lot of details he's going to have to accomplish to get to his goal of running his restaurant. And a lot of those steps, he's not actually going to be thinking about the restaurant at the time, necessarily. Maybe he's got a boring math exam. He's got to pass to get the grades he needs. And all he might be thinking about is getting a good enough grade so he can get it done, get it over with, have it out of his way. His restaurant might not be on the mind at all. And yet it's his motivation to get to that point of building his business that drives him. Even though he's not concentrating at that time, that's what's driving his will. That power in his will is still carrying him through those things that he's got to do. And so it's a similar thing with God, that it should be similar with us. The thing that we do that carries us, or the thing that we aim at that carries us through, the thing, the goal, the ultimate end to which everything else is ordered, needs to be God. We can put this into practice by making a good morning offering, attentive morning offering, and living in accordance with it. So to offer each morning all of our actions to God, all for his honor and glory, all to please him, all to show our love for him, that we believe him, that we have hope in him. A good morning offering. You can find one in any good catechism or Catholic prayer book. And then throughout the day at times to renew this offering so that that strength of the will of aiming at God carries through all of our actions even when we're not concentrating on it. If we do this, it keeps that ultimate motive influencing their works and makes them also deserving of a reward in heaven because they become supernatural. And it also will help us to bring all of our actions and thoughts and words and deeds into line with that purpose. And thereby to practice virtue and avoid sin. And St. Paul, especially in day-to-day practice, calls our attention to the practice of charity to our neighbor. To patiently put up with each other's faults. To express that love of God, inner love of neighbor, because you can't have one without the other, not supernatural love. We should always try to be generous, kind, patient, forgiving, especially with those close to us. And even when somebody else is in the wrong, or we're convinced they're in the wrong, that they're the ones at fault, still, like St. Paul says in another place, we should carry each other's burdens. This is a big part of actually being a practicing Christian, a of actually being a practicing Catholic. To forgive, to bear wrongs patiently, to tolerate what we see as other people's faults with patience, remembering that we have our own too. And in doing this, we reflect the good God who makes his rain to fall and his sun to shine on both the just and the unjust. When we do this, we let the peace of Christ reign in our hearts, his order, rather than our natural impatience. God planted us in this world, each of us, each of you here individually. He planted you in this world. He made us, and he planted the good seeds of his grace and truth all around us. And we get to decide which seeds grow in our heart, whether the good ones or the bad ones. The good ones mature into a virtuous, orderly life, where everything is done for God. The bad ones mature into a sinful, disorderly life, where things are done for some temporary pleasure. If the bad ones are mature in our soul, when the harvest is taken in, when the day of our death comes, then we will be cut down and cast into eternal fire. And if the good ones are mature in our soul, when the harvest is taken in, then will we be gathered into the friendship of God in heaven. This is what we want. And to do this, we must focus on staying in the state of grace, staying united to God in supernatural life, getting that grace to grow by doing good works, by receiving the sacraments as fervently as we can, just as the best saint we can imagine in our shoes would do, by praying as fervently and as attentively and as frequently as we're able. And God rewards these things by increasing the grace in our soul, by giving us more a share in his life. It's that grace that is our supernatural life. Getting, keeping, growing, and living that life of grace in our soul should be everything to us. To share the life of God in our soul, and to do all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.